Let's open the open your Bibles, please, to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 13. If you feel a need, it is the parable of the pearl of great price. You may already know it. Matthew chapter 13, verse 45. We'll be reading from the New King James. And the Lord said here, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it." It's time for the pastor to rise up. Give us the word.
Well, happy Sabbath again, everybody. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, please bless the words that I'm about to share from your word, and may you be lifted up and exalted, and everybody be drawn to your love, your mercy, and your unceasing searching for us. In Jesus' name, amen. The message today is called Searching for Service. So yesterday, I woke up, took care of a few things in the house, and I turned on my cell phone, and I looked at it, and, you know, it's a Samsung Galaxy S6. It's a little bit older, but still works good. And that little triangle shape sloping upward, you know the one I'm talking about, it was empty, meaning no service. And it said, you know, emergency calls only, no service. And I was like, well, what is this? This is weird. And I had a few emails I needed to send, and sometimes I send those from my phone. So I just left the house quickly and went to the library and used my computer over there and sent a few emails. And I was trying to figure out, you know, what to preach about today. And God said, this is what I want you to preach about. Searching for service is the message today. And, you know, in the Pearl of Great Price, the merchant comes seeking out something. He comes seeking out something valuable, pearls. I mean, has anyone here ever found a pearl in a clam, like by the ocean or anything? I haven't. Has anyone found one? You have found one? In an oyster, okay, yeah. That's pretty cool. I would like to find one of those one day. But this this merchant goes out seeking a pearl of great price. You know, a beautiful ivory-looking pearl with the light shining on it. And, you know, the myriad of different colors from the light reflecting on it. That's what the merchant went seeking for. He was searching for something. And Jesus not only comes searching for pearls in the parable, but he comes searching for service. What type of service is this? Well, in relation to a cell phone gives us service. It gives us a connection to some outside source. So God comes seeking a connection with us as he's searching for service. He doesn't want to see the bars empty. He wants to see those bars all the way up where he can make a call anytime and know that he can get right on through to whoever he's calling. And in Genesis chapter 11, he came searching for service. Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11, this is the story of the Tower of Babel. So at this time, all the earth was of one speech, and they were one language, one speech. Everyone could speak the same language. I had someone ask me this week, what language do you think they spoke then? Well, I figure it's the same language as Adam and Eve spoke. Not sure, but that's my best guess. So the whole earth was of one language, of one speech, and this is a very long time ago. This is quite possibly around 4,500 years ago or so, something like that. Or actually maybe even longer than that, 5,000 years could be. So the earth, one language, one speech, and so everybody's looking for things to do. They have their endeavors that they want to complete, and so a group of people get together and they say, we want to build a tower and we want to build a city. We want this tower to reach up into the heavens. And one guy said to the other, said, come, let's take bricks, let's bake them thoroughly, and let's start making this tower. Let's make it out of asphalt and mortar, and the top will reach to the heavens because we don't want to be scattered all over the earth again like we have been. And this was right after the flood, so some people were still scared that God was going to flood the earth again, even though he promised that he wouldn't. That's actually why they were building the towers, to escape another flood if God did it. So these people that did this, they did not trust God. And then in verse 5 it says, but the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. The Lord came down searching for service. Why do you think the Lord came down to visit? Did he come down to judge the people in the bad sense of the word, to say, look what they're doing wrong, I can't believe this? I don't believe so. I believe that he came to Adam, or he came to these people at the tower, like he came to Adam and Eve in the garden. He came searching for a connection. He came searching for righteousness. But unfortunately, he didn't find it when he came to visit these people building the tower. They were absorbed in their own endeavors. They were absorbed in building this magnificent empire, this tower that would reach unto the heavens. And the Lord came, and he didn't find service. He didn't find a connection. And here's what he said in verse 6. Indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language. And this is what they begin to do. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. And then the Lord said, come, let us go down there and confuse their language. So basically, God confused the languages for the people's own good and for the good of the earth. Because if these people would have completed the endeavor, Satan would have been more successful in establishing wickedness on the earth. But the Lord was disappointed when he didn't find a connection or service when he came to visit the people at the tower. Now there's some good news a little bit later in Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. This was sometime later, and the main character that the Lord interacts with in this story is Abraham. One day, out in the plains of Mamre, under the terebinth tree, sitting under the shade, Abraham was there, and in the tent door, it's very hot out, he sees three men walking up from the distance. And he sees these people. I always imagine it being like a mirage. You know, have you ever seen in a movie where there's someone and the heat is rising up from the ground and something in the distance has that kind of wavy look to it? That's how I imagine these three figures walking up look to Abraham as he's walking out there. And so there are three men walks up. Abraham sees them, and the Bible says that it was the Lord that appeared to Abraham. There were three people there, and one of them actually happened to be Jesus. It was Jesus, and he came with two angels. So he came with a company of people. And then as soon as Abraham recognizes who it is, maybe he didn't even recognize who it was yet, but it says here in verse 3, actually verse 2, when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them, and he bowed himself to the ground. And then he said, "My Lord, if now I've found favor in your sight, don't pass on by your servant. Please let a little water be brought. Wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And I'll bring you a morsel of bread that you may refresh your hearts. After that, you may pass by inasmuch as you have come to your servant." And then they say, "Okay, do as you've said." And then Abraham hurried quickly over to Sarah, and then he says, "All right, quick, make some bread, get the butter, get the milk, and get the tender and good calf." And so they prepared everything and set it before Jesus and the angels, and they all enjoyed. Well, it says Jesus and the angels ate. Abraham actually stood there, stood by while they were eating. Maybe he was there waiting to attend to any need that they might have. So Abraham didn't even take time to eat with them. He was just so concerned with his guests that he was standing there waiting to take care of any need that they had. So Jesus came again searching for service. He came searching for a connection, and he came to Abraham this time. Abraham was there ready to meet his Lord with everything he had. I mean, he bowed before him. He said, "All right, let me get you some water, wash your feet." And he brought them great food. He brought them the tender and good calf. He gave them the best that he had. When Jesus came searching for service, when he came searching for a connection from Abraham, Abraham was there ready to meet his Lord with the best that he had. And after that, Abraham received the promise about having a son. And then the two men, they were actually angels, the two men that came with Jesus, they go out to go to Sodom, and then Jesus stays there with Abraham and talks with them. And Abraham knows judgment is going to come upon Sodom, and then he says, "Wait, Lord, if there are righteous people in Sodom, you won't destroy the whole city if there's some righteous people are there. Will the judge of the earth slay the righteous with the wicked?" And so Abraham pleads with the Lord, and he bargains with him back and forth a few times, going down from, or starting at about 50 people. Abraham says, "If there's 50 people, just save the city, save the city." Step by step, he gets down to 10, and the Lord actually agrees, "Okay, if there's 10 righteous people, we will save the city." So Jesus was back there with Abraham, and the two angels in Genesis chapter 19, they go over to Sodom. Now, this wasn't Jesus that actually went to Sodom, but he sent two of his angels that he trusted, and they went to go search out the city. And a relative of Abraham was there, and his name was, anyone know his name? Lot. Lot was in the city, so the two angels came to visit Lot. And being a relative of Abraham, they had some good family values, and look what he said in Genesis 19, verse 2. "Hear now, my lords, please turn into your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet. Then you may rise early and go your way." Then the angel said, "No, we'll spend the night out in the square. You don't have to take care of us." And then Lot insisted strongly. See, Lot knew what it was like out there. And he says, "You guys don't want to stay out there. You need to come and stay here. I don't want to leave. I don't want you guys to be out in the square." And so they actually agreed. And it says he made them a feast, baked unleavened bread, and they ate. I can imagine them all sitting that evening at a nice big wooden table. The two angels are there, Lot and his family, and makes them all this nice bread and food, and they sit there and eat some good food. And you know, their lighting then was fire, so there are probably candles around the place. And it does say it was evening, so it may have been dark by the time they were eating. And I imagine it being a nice time, but then suddenly some bad things start to happen. They get pounding on the door and all this rabble and all this stuff outside the door, and there were people actually outside the door demanding for the angels. But that's a story for another time. What I want you to notice is that when these two angels came to Lot, they came searching for a connection. They were looking for those 10 righteous people in the city. Unfortunately, they did not find 10 righteous people, but they found a connection with Lot. Because Lot, he says, okay, guys, you need to come stay in here, and I'll make you some food. Just stay a night. It'll be safer in here. So they found a connection when they came and found Lot. And so, similarly, Jesus came to the earth again, but this time he came as a human. Thousands of years later, he came as a human to earth. He came as the merchant searching for the pearl of great price. And then he was born as a baby, grew into an adult, and he spent his life on earth ministering to people. And when he came searching for service here on earth, he found 12 people that were going to follow him around on earth. Unfortunately, one of those did stray away, but 11 of those 12 people that he specially selected stuck with him, and they entered into the Lord's work with him. So when he came searching for the lost sheep, searching for service and a connection, he found it in his apostles. And in Matthew chapter, I didn't write it down here. All right, let me look for a moment. I actually didn't write the verse down. It's in Matthew, and we're going to the verses where Jesus comes to visit Jerusalem. I'll find it in a moment. Okay, this is Matthew chapter 23, verses 37 to 39. Matthew 23:37 to 39. So Jesus, he rode into Jerusalem on a colt, a donkey, and people were putting palm branches down before him. It was a fantastic thing. He came searching for a connection there in righteousness. And after all the good that Jesus had done for the people, after all the miracles, all the love he had poured out, he had this final thing to say about Jerusalem. He said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. For I say to you, you shall see me no more till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Like the people building the Tower of Babel thousands of years before, Jesus came searching and he found nothing. He did find something, but as a whole, with the leaders of the people, he didn't find a connection with them. And he lamented. Jesus actually cried over Jerusalem. And Jesus is actually searching us, and he's searching his people, anyone who's claimed to worship him. He's searching us today. He's come searching for a connection. And since 1844, we've been living in the time of the investigative judgment. And this is the time that Jesus comes to the record books in heaven, and he's come searching for service, a connection. He's going over each name, and he's saying, is this a faithful servant? Is this a wicked servant? And he's coming to the names of the people and looking for a connection. And by God's grace, we have that honor to have that connection with Jesus in this time of judgment. This is the time for us to come into connection with Jesus. Let's not be like the people at the Tower of Babel, who when Jesus came, He found them absorbed in their own interests, building their own tower. Let's be like Abraham when those three men walked up out in that mirage in the distance, when things might not even be that clear. Let us be like Abraham when they come walking, saying, "Lord, Lord, it's you. I want a connection with you. Let me give you my best, God. Let me give you water for your feet. Let me give you the tender and good calf." Let's be like Lot, who when those angels came, even when they were not even going to stay with him, let's beg the Lord for his presence, even when it seems like we might not have that connection. Beg the Lord for his presence. Beg the Lord. And let's be like those apostles who stuck by Jesus, following him around, looking at his miracles, watching every move that he made, asking him questions. "Lord, well, what does this mean? Lord, what does that parable mean? How can we work miracles in your name, Lord?" Let's be like the apostles and give Jesus a connection when he comes searching for service. And we'll be able to answer that question in Revelation chapter 6. Come read this here with me. Revelation chapter 6. Revelation 6, verse 17. When God's wrath began to fall on the earth in the vision that John was having, there was a question asked, and this was it. Who is able to stand? Who's able to stand when the great day of God's wrath comes? See, God comes searching for service so he can rescue us from that time of wrath. And he wants you, and he wants everybody on this earth and myself to be able to stand in that great day. This includes standing in the judgment and having pardon written next to our names and our name recorded in the book of life. And this also means for those that are living, being able to stand and look Jesus in the eye when he comes in the clouds, riding on that cloud, with that sickle in his hand, ready to reap the harvest of the earth. It means being able to look him in the eye and smile with the face lit up by God's glory. And one last thing I want to share with you here. One last Bible verse. It's in Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. This is what Jesus longs to say about each one of you. Malachi 3, verse 17. "They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him." Amen. Wouldn't that be a nice thing to hear Jesus say to you? "I've spared you my jewel, my diamond, my ruby, my sapphire. I've spared you. You've served me well." When Jesus comes searching for service, do you want to be a jewel? When Jesus comes searching for service, do you want to be like Abraham? Yes? No? Yes. Yes. When Jesus comes searching for service, do you want to be like Lot? Yeah? Yes? No? Yes? All right. When Jesus comes searching for service, will you open up that connection to him? Yes, no. If you want that connection with Jesus when he comes searching, when he comes to your name in the judgment, raise your hand with me. Amen. Let's pray.